You would turn now in God's Word to Genesis and chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. And we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 16. Genesis 16, beginning in verse 1. These are the words of the living and true God, so give your attention to Him. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Then Sarai said to Abram, "My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me." So Abram said to Sarai, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please." And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?" She said, "I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai." The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man, his hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." And she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees." For she said, "Have I also here seen him who sees me?" Therefore the well was called Beer Lahai Roi. Observe, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. And those are God's words from Genesis 16. The chapter, we saw Abram's faith, in which the Lord counted him or credited to him as righteous in his sight. And now this chapter we see Abram's lack of faith. His lack of faith, along with his wife's lack of faith, not trusting the covenant promises that were just made in the previous chapter, that the Lord would cause Sarai to bore a son, that Abram would have a son. And she wanting to bring about God's promises on her own works, on her own energy, on her own, gave Hagar to Abram. Now, the Lord promised Abram, "You're going to have a son, and you're not having a son by me. I'm too old, and I haven't conceived in the last 10 years. So here's Hagar. Hagar the Egyptian, who, if we look back to chapter 14, was given to Abram and his household from Pharaoh as one of those rewards and the great possessions he had coming out of Egypt. And then verses 4 through 6, we see how Sarai had a heavy hand towards Hagar when she found out Hagar conceived so easily. And so Hagar fled, and the Lord called her to go back. The angel of the Lord is the Lord. The Lord called her to go back, for she was with child, the child of Abraham. in which this son would be used in a great plan of God going forth in all the history of the world to show forth so much of His eternal plan and His decrees, and yet also to cause great distress and persecution upon the people of God. Beloved, here we're challenged not to force God's hand. Sarai tried to force God's hand. Abram tried to force God's hand by going along with it and not rebuking his wife. Well, here we must not try to force God's hand. God has promised certain things, but we cannot seek to doubt His promises. We have to trust that He will bring these things about, and we must continue living faithfully as He's commanded. Live faithfully. The church needs to worship faithfully and go out and preach the gospel faithfully and not go after other methods to try to bring about God's promises quicker. They will come about exactly as He's planned. So we are to believe in faith what He says and live according to as He says. And He will bring it about. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for Your Word from Genesis. We're thankful for how Abram and Sarai both are good examples for how we often act ourselves. Not that they are good examples to us. In this chapter, they are bad examples. But they are good examples of how we often live. And not trusting and doubting Your promises and trying to bring about Your promises quicker or in according to our plan rather than according to Your plan in days and time. Father, we pray that we would be a people who grow in faith this day, especially as we have the great privilege of celebrating both sacraments that are made to grow us in faith and even by Your grace. These are, even the sacraments are means of grace, just like the Word, the reading of Your Word and the preaching of Your Word and the singing of Your Word and the praying of Your Word. And Father, we're thankful for Your Son Jesus Christ, in whom all promises, every single word is yes and amen in Him. And so, Father, we come unto Him who is our advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And He calls us, You call us, to turn from our sin unto Him. And Father, we have sinned in the great ways, even as Your children. We have sinned, and we do see our sin in a greater way than those of the world, of course. And Father, help us to see our very particular sins, that we might repent of our particular sins particularly. That we would grow in faith and grace as we turn to Christ and as we're reminded of the great promises that are found in Christ alone. That all of our sins are covered by His blood. They're washed by His blood and cleansed even as white as snow. And Father, we are thankful that though we sin, as for Your people, You still see us for the righteousness of Christ for us. And Father, for this we are thankful for Your mercy, that You do not strike us down immediately every time we sin, for that is what we deserve. And yet every moment of every day You've been merciful to each one of us. And so, Father, we pray that we would respond with praise to Your name. That we would respond with being, as we heard in Romans 12, living sacrifices, holy and pleasing and acceptable to You. And Father, we ask that You would forgive us of our sins. We have sinned and we've broken the two greatest commandments. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We've not worshipped You as who You are, as God. And Father, we have sinned against our neighbor, as You command, love your neighbor as yourself. We have not. We've loved ourselves way more than we've ever loved our neighbor. And we are selfish and prideful and envious and covetous, and we lust after the flesh, and we steal in our hearts, and even time from You. And we gossip and we slander, and we speak lies. Father, we're thankful for Your grace, and we ask that You would forgive us. You would turn us from our sins unto You, the living and true God, in Christ Your Son, and by Your Holy Spirit. We pray that You would, if there are any here who are slaves of sin, in bondage to sin, that You would free them through the blood of Christ. And Father, as we keep going back, trying to put the chains on ourselves, as we keep trying to go back to sin, and we do, Father, have us to abhor all sin and love righteousness, to hate what You hate and love what You love. And even those sins that we've committed that we don't know we've committed, Father, forgive us and cleanse us and clothe us with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Father, we're thankful that even now as we worship, even as we live each day, that we have an intercessor, a mediator between us and You, Jesus Christ, who lives to make intercession for us, the great high priest after the order of Melchizedek, who lives forever and is king forever. We exalt Him and we praise You for our mediatorial King, who is the head of the church. We pray that You would, by Him, guide us, correct us, rebuke us, and train us in righteousness today. That Your name would be given all praise. And Father, we pray for those who may not be feeling well, didn't sleep well last night, who are sick, who are frail and feeling that frailness. Father, we ask that You would heal them in their bodies, that they would be able to serve You all the more. You would help us and strengthen our weak and feeble bones, and more so our souls, to proclaim the majesty of Jesus Christ and the good news to all peoples we come in contact with. That Your gospel will go forth and salvation would come to many among the Jews and Gentiles. And Father, we pray for our congregation that You would grow us in sanctification, cleanse us of our sin, make us righteous for Your sake and for Your glory. Grow us in number that we would be able to grow to a point where we can plant another church and support missionaries, and that You would raise up from amongst us future pastors that we could support their training. And Father, this all for Your glory, not for our own glory, that we would have more people, but for Your glory and for the further spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that You would care for us, protect us from evil and sin that might come in, or people wolves even, who might come in, or false teachers who try to sow discord amongst us, or bring division, or bring that divisive spirit, or dissension. We pray that You would bring to us rather unity around the truth, and therefore peace. And Father, we ask that You would bless us now as we continue worshiping You. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.